For an inside look at the state's biggest footy league, it's the Monday Waffle.
And we are listening to the Monday Waffle. This week, you're joined with Maya Grieve.
And Asha Gibbon.
Asha, this week of footy, waffle and AFL has been all over the place.
Yes.
A tipping nightmare.
A tipster's nightmare, I think our man Sean on the Monday Waffle would say.
It is. Now let's get straight into the recaps. Asha, how was that East Frio Perth game?
So East Frio, they defeated Perth 105-77 at Wacker this weekend. Best on ground for East Frio were Marsh, Murdoch, Joyce, Lawler and Dixon. And for East Frio, best on ground for Perth were Baldwin Wright, Avery, Thompson, Brogan Henry, Davis and Singh. Lots of people, I think, had a very good performance at this game, and it was a very close match. At halftime, the Sharks were leading by 1 point.
Yeah, look, the Redlegs, they weren't able to keep up to the Sharks. It went into the fourth quarter and they were actually leading by 25 points.
Yep. Definitely Perth. They fought hard in the final quarter, bringing the margin down to 9 points. But 3 goals in the last 10 minutes was enough to secure the win for the Sharks.
Lawler, Dixon and Marsh scored 3 goals each for East Fremantle, which is an incredible stat for them. I mean,
definitely.
Go off.
Yeah.
And this is the third consecutive win for the Sharks after defeating West Coast last week and Swannies the week before. At this point, are you surprised when a team beats West Coast?
No.
Yeah.
I think the day West Coast defeats a team, I will be shaking in my boots.
I reckon we do the whole waffle episode on West Coast.
Yes, that will be a dedicated episode.
Dedicated.
I think.
So, West Coast, if you're hearing this right now, you want that dedication episode.
If you want an exclusive Monday waffle episode,
you got to take the title. So, Pilfunder defeated East Perth on the weekend 86-53. It ended East Perth's unbeaten start to the season, walking away with a 33-point win at Leaderville Oval on Saturday. A 54-point turnaround saw 11 unanswered goals. Ridiculous.
I think accuracy, it's definitely seemed to be a problem for the Royals. It saw them sit on 5 goals from the opening term until the fourth quarter. And between that first term and fourth quarter, they were only able to score points. So I think it's definitely an issue they'll be looking at this week. And Jaden Peake actually broke their goal drought, kicking the game's final goal.
Yes, so Royals controlled the contest early. They maintained possession, but, you know, Peel just stepped up. In that second term, they kicked 6-0, as you were saying before, with Jaden Peake breaking their drought. Yep. So best on ground for Peel, Nathan Wilson, Carl Warner, Josh Treacy, Tom Emmett, Ben Middleton, and the best on ground for East Perth, Hamish Brayshaw, Angus Scott, Nicholas Bonomelli.
Yeah, Maya, I definitely think that Peel's key forward, Josh Treacy, was a standout player this weekend. He was absolutely dominating the air during that third term, and it was lots of strong contested grabs around the ground, and he helped add a lot more pressure to the Royals' attack ball movements.
Yeah, so even though Treacy did take those 10 marks and 1 goal for Peel, you can't forget East Perth captain Hamish Brayshaw collecting 30 touches.
Yep.
Unheard of.
Yeah, and also ex-Docker Mitch Crowden, he performed well against his ex-teammates with 25 disposals and 6 marks.
And then, you know, Peel bounced back for their first defeat of the season, so good on them. Anyway, heading on to Subiaco defeating West Perth 66-45. Keep your ears out because we will be talking to someone from West Perth a little bit later on.
Yes,
but Asha, give us a little breakdown of how the game went.
Well, after finishing in front at the end of the first quarter, West Perth were actually goalless in the second quarter. And I think this proved to be the start of a rot for the Falcons. A rut, sorry, not a rot. What am I talking about?
That was the incorrect describing word.
That's
so
all right.
They that was the start of their rut, and they weren't able to bounce back from it in the second half.
We definitely will hear a bit more about that later on. Borchette and Sokol kicked 2 goals each for Subiaco.
And then after beating Claremont last week, Subiaco have definitely, they're dominating. A bit of a force to be reckoned with, I think, after defeating Claremont and now West Perth. They've taken out last year's grand finalists.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting to wait. Like, I mean, I can't wait to wait until we see the end of the season. Let's go to Claremont defeating West Coast Eagles.
Well, we had a little chat about that earlier, didn't we?
Yeah, look. Coming back from a loss, Claremont handed West Coast another triple-figure thrashing, defeating them by 111 points. At this point in time, West Coast need to find some players.
I think they do.
They're struggling. I mean, to have to call back in retired players.
Yeah.
What's going to happen next? Ben Edwards' 50th game, we saw him get 26 disposals, 5 tackles, 2 goals and 1 behind. So that was great.
Yeah.
Jai Bolton, a huge 40 disposals.
Yeah.
And then Eagles had a good old retired AFL player, as we were saying before.
Yes.
Kane Mitchell, who had 28 disposals. So good on them.
Yes.
But unfortunately, they just haven't got a strong enough team at the moment to take those titles.
Yeah, I agree, Maya. The huge win is definitely helping Claremont stay at the top of the ladder by percentage.
It's game of the week time. Swan Districts defeated South Frio with a 18-point win. Asher.
One of our Monday Wafflers, James Broadhurst, was actually at the game. Here's what he found out.
It was a beautiful day for local footy, and the sunshine wasn't the only thing hitting the scoreboard early as the Swans kicked 5 goals to none in the opening term.
And at quarter time, Swan Districts 5-1 to South Fremantle, just 2 behind.
The Bulldogs scrummed back into the contest, kicking 5 goals to 2 in the second, including a beauty from Archie right on the halftime siren.
He's got it! Great class from Archie.
The third term was a scrap with both teams fighting hard before the Swans put the game nearly out of reach with a couple of goals in time on.
Really hurt the Bulldogs. Palmer from right on the 50. Long kick. It's a good kick.
The Bulldogs had plenty of chances and their inaccuracy in front of goal early in the third cost them dearly as they kicked 1 goal 5 for the quarter. A few quick goals from the Bulldogs midway through the last gave the home crowd hope, with the lead reduced to less than 10 points with 22 minutes gone.
And just like that, they trimmed the margin down to 9 points.
The Swans put the game beyond reach with 2 great goals from outside 50 heading into time on in the last.
Dumps it long from just outside the 50. It's home! Signed, sealed and delivered, Swan Districts.
Toby McWilkins starred for the Bulldogs with plenty of run out of the back six, while Jesse Palmer for the Swans kicked a crucial 4 goals up to three-quarter time, setting up the Swans' first win for 2023. McWilkins says it was a hard-fought game, but the team is pushing to get into positive territory on the waffle ladder.
We want the points on the board. We want our first 4 points on the board, and unfortunately we didn't get that today, but yeah, I think for us back seven, we just want to keep pumping it in and try to kick goals, mate, to win the game. So, unfortunately, we didn't kick enough today to win, but we just have to roll on.
What happened at quarter time? You get a bit of a spray or what?
Mate, we got the bit, yeah, but it was well-deserved, I think. Yeah, we didn't come out of the blocks at all and didn't even throw a punch, so.
For the Black Ducks, Palmer was happy with his contribution, kicking 4 goals off the bench, but he praised the efforts from the Swans' undermanned midfield in the Swans' first win for 2023.
One of those games, you know, I was lucky enough today, the ball just fell on my lap, but sort of been building the last couple of weeks. I think as a forward line, we've been, you know, pretty good. We haven't had a lot of entries in the last, first 4 rounds or so, but when we get it in there, we're capitalising. So as long as we can keep doing that, yeah. Pretty happy.
And very efficient as well. I think looking at the spread of disposals across the midfield as well, there weren't too many players with over 25 touches, but you still managed to get the job done. You've got to be pretty happy with that.
Yeah, the mids are huge. Well, we're missing a few of our stars in Clarkey and Fish, and Jebby O'Donoghue got suspended as well, so that's our 3 starting midfielders, so yep. They're all out today. But we have blokes like Jacko McLaughlin, our new recruit from Geelong. He's really stepping up in there. He's been really good for us the last couple of weeks, so it's good to have him back. And yeah, like some of the young boys like Benny Hewitt and Jesse Turner also went in there. So we just had a mix of boys that all went through there and they all played their role and they're pretty good.
The result goes against the recent history of clashes between the clubs, with the 18-point margin the biggest win by either side since 2021. It was also the Swans' first win against South Fremantle at home since 2014. This is James Broadhurst reporting the Monday Waffle Game of the Week for Round 4. Maya and Asher, back to you in the studio.
You're listening to the Monday Waffle with Maya Grieve
and Asher Gibbon.
We are now joined with Toby Watson, a midfielder for Swan Districts.
Toby, obviously Swanee's got their first win on the weekend. How is the club feeling? How are the boys going?
Yeah, super excited. We feel like it's well overdue. Been in every single game this year, obviously lost the first few by pretty much a kick, which shows that we're really up there. But just needed a kick to go our way, which a few did on the weekend, which was nice. So good to get the first 4 points on the board.
You're back from a concussion. So how was that going into the game this weekend with the recovery?
Yeah, it was a little bit different. Obviously pretty light on the track. Didn't do too much contact stuff. Just a little bit of running and, yeah, just try to keep the legs ticking over, keep the skills up. But, yeah, not too much contact stuff. So I was pretty light going into the game. But I feel like it didn't hold me back too much. I guess that competitive edge comes out when it gets to game day and you cross that white line. So, yeah, I was just in the zone out there trying to get that first win, which we were able to get.
Do you ever kind of get fears when you're coming back from an injury that, or is it going to happen again?
Nah, not really, to be honest. Like, when I'm out there, it's really just a blur. I've done knees before. I've hurt my arm and whatnot. Obviously, I had a concussion at the end of last year as well. So I feel like none of that's held me back, though. As I said, as soon as I get out there, instinct kind of takes over. And, you just go for it. You see the ball and you just go for it.
So this weekend, you were missing a fair chunk of the midfield with Aidan Clark and Sam Fisher, both sidelined with hamstring injuries. How did you get around that in game plan and just heading into the game?
Yeah, obviously they're two massive weapons for us. Sam, a former Sandover medalist, and Clarkie is in great form from last year and then played really well in the first round and was tracking again in the second round. So they're probably two of our best midfield bulls. So to lose them was big, but it just meant other guys had to stand up. I think I was on the inside in the second half of the game. We had Jackson McLaughlin in there all day, and he's from Victoria, and that was his second game for us, and he's slotted in beautifully. And we had some younger guys as well. We had Mitch Bain in there and Ben Hewitt. Other guys just stand up. And that's what happened on the weekend, and we're able to get it done.
So first quarter, you guys put through 5 goals. The whole team obviously played great. But who do you think was a standout for you on the field on the weekend?
I thought all our forwards were really, really good. Like Jesse Palmer kicking 4 was great to see him. Get amongst the goals again. He's had a pretty solid start to this year. Brad Noble and Chris Jones as well, Tom Edwards, those big boys are able to take some clunks up forward. I think we're going into a little breeze in that first quarter as well, which made it even more impressive. But we're just giving them good looks. We know that they can beat pretty much any defender one-on-one in the comp, so if we just give them good looks, they're going to get it done. They were kicking a few goals from tough positions as well, so that helps. And then our backs held up really well. So to keep them to 2 points, going with the breeze, it was just a really good all-around-the-ground performance in the first quarter.
And finally, you guys are taking on Peel this weekend, who managed to defeat East Perth, who've gone undefeated so far this season. How do you think the club is feeling going into that game?
Yeah, look, we've been confident going into every game this year under our new coach, Andrew Pruin. He gives us a lot of confidence as players. We believe in our system. We've had a massive off-season slash preseason. We're all really fit, raring to go. We thought we could be 4-0 right now if a few kicks went our way. So that's how close it is this year. Peel Thunder's just another club that we're going to come up against. Obviously, they got some big, strong bodies on an AFL list. So that's a different challenge. But at the end of the day, they're in the Waffle Comp, same level as us, playing against us. So we're just going to bring our attributes. We believe we move the ball really well when it's on, really quickly. We want to score goals. So we're going to bring that down to Mandra and, yeah, hopefully bring it up to them and come back up here with 4 points.
That was Toby Watson from Swan Districts.
And you're listening to the Monday Waffle with Maya Grieve.
And Asher Gibbon.
Your host for this week.
Yeah, the girls.
The WA's state squad is on a mission to reclaim the Hayden Bunton Cup, naming their 34-man squad.
Yes, they announced their squad last week. New week today. It's a Monday. And the state team coach is Cam Shepherd.
They will be taking on South Australia in Adelaide next month, and the 2022 grand finalist teams Claremont and West Perth have provided 10 players, and then there were also 5 players selected from East Perth.
Yes, and also former Frio Docker Joel Weston and Subiaco's Taj Schofield, son of West Coast assistant coach Jared. They are actually the youngest players to be named on the squad. They're both only 20 years old.
It's incredible. Look, we will keep you updated with all that state squad gossip as well in the Monday podcast. So keep listening.
Definitely. Alrighty, we're on a quick, fiery ladder chat this week on the Monday Waffle. So our top 5 teams, there's something interesting going on.
There is. So Claremont, East Fremantle, Peel Thunder, East Perth and Subiaco are all sitting on what, Asher?
They're sitting on 12 points currently. So that means these teams are only separated by percentage.
You've got Claremont, who's on the top of the ladder, separated from next on the ladder, who's East Fremantle, and it's a 20% split.
Yep. So I think this weekend, it's going to be shaken up.
Speaking of shaking things up, Asher, let's head all the way down to the bottom of the ladder. We have Perth and West Coast.
Yes, we do.
Oh, no. But guess what? This weekend they're versing. So we will finally get to see, after 5 games,
who's going to get 4 points? That's what I want to know.
And look, if South Frio lose, they'll be above South Frio.
Yes.
So we'll have a whole new...
Yeah, ladder chat next week could look very different from ladder chat
this
week.
All right, you're listening to the Monday Waffle with Maya Grieve
and Asher Gibbon,
your co-host this week.
Alrighty, Maya, it's time to look to the weekend ahead.
Yeah, we're getting through this. You know, it is round 5. We're piling through the games. The Monday Waffle it's just going. It's going well. It's going great.
It is. And this week, Maya and I decided we're gonna do. Looking to the week ahead a little bit different. We're going to put on the poetry hats.
We've decided that instead of giving you 40 minutes of what's going to be coming up next week, we're going to give you maximum of 6 words.
Yes.
Beautiful singing by me, I know. Thank
we
you.
We love.
So the first game that we have here is Claremont v. the Royals. Saturday, 2:10, Revo Fitness Stadium. Asher, what are our words?
Alrighty. Are you ready for it?
I'm ready.
This is like a drum roll. Tight contest. Accuracy will make or break.
Interesting.
What a powerful statement.
It is a powerful statement.
Moving on, next game, we have Eagles and Perth. That's at Saturday, 2:10 p.m. at the Mineral Resources Park. Maya.
Wooden spoon competitors. I think it sums it up perfectly.
I think that does too.
Quite poetic.
Yes, very strong. What a statement.
Very strong. All right. And then we have Subiaco versus South Frio. Saturday, 30 minutes after these games. You know, if you're in a bit of a feisty move, you can switch and swap. It's at 2:10 p.m. at Leaderville Oval. Asher, what are our words?
Subi showing who's boss.
Tight. Good. I like it.
So do I. But if you never know. South Frio might turn around and South Frio might show who's boss, so...
Exactly.
So you'll have to
watch. You'll have to wait. Listen to Monday Waffle next week on Monday and you'll find out.
Yes, and then we also have Peel, Thunder and Swan Districts. They're Sunday at 2:10 at Lane Group Stadium. Maya, hit me with it.
Okay. Winners go head to head.
Yeah.
This one is a bit more of an extended sentence because they both won last week. But, you know, winners go head to head.
Yes. This will be definitely a game to watch.
Definitely.
Like, it will go one of two ways. It'll be a tight contest or there might be a bit of a gap in the score.
There might be. Now, when it comes up to our game of the week for week 5, we have decided to choose East Frio versus West Perth. It'll be Saturday, 2:10 at the Wacker.
At the Wacker.
At the Wacker. Asha, what are our words?
All right. I think this is my favourite.
All right, let's go.
Revenge against the best.
Revenge is a dish best served cold, Asher, and I completely agree with that little short statement that we have. East Frio and West Perth are the ground of our week, game of our week.
Yes, they are. East Frio, they're definitely going to be out for revenge after being knocked out of the finals by the Falcons last year. So I think this is the game to watch this weekend.
Absolutely. The Falcons will be looking to get back on their winning list after a loss last week. But yeah, you'll have to wait and see.
I think tensions will be high at that game.
Tensions will be high.
We have a special guest today here in the studio with us. We have West Perth's midfielder, Joseph Hinder.
Joseph, how did you start in the Waffle League?
I was originally at Swan Districts in 2018, and I played Colts there. And basically from there, I kind of lost the passion and I went and had a year off from football, and I actually ended up going back to my junior football club, which was Bassendean Amateur Football Club. And I had a year there back in, I think it was 2020, and we had a really good season and we were playing B grade amateur football, and we ended up getting to the grand final and it was against West Coast. And from there, unfortunately, we lost. And then after the season, one of my teammates now, Sasha Kernot, he gave me a message and he was wondering whether I wanted to give West Perth a trial. And I was a bit hesitant at first. I didn't know whether I was going to really go back into the Waffle system. However, I had a really good mate of mine, Jacob Cottrell, and he basically said to me, you know, you have this opportunity and you can do it. So I took his advice on and I ended up taking on that responsibility and opportunity. And from there, I basically did the pre-season, got through it, and I actually got injured. And I did my meniscus, and it took me 6 weeks out, and I missed out on the pre-season games. However, I got myself back fit, and I was ready to go. And basically, that's how I got into the West Perth Football Club.
Wow, that's actually a very interesting story, I think, because not every day someone comes into the league after stopping from playing footy. It's definitely...
Yeah. So with 9 games under your belt, you've got a pretty big impact. How do you feel about that?
Yeah. So in terms of impact, I've just learnt how to adapt to the game. And it wasn't really till later during the year I made my debut against West Coast Eagles. It was pretty significant for me because my mum passed away, and it was a really special moment to make my debut against the Eagles, and I was able to go out there and make my family proud, and especially my mum. And I ended up with 16 disposals and I missed 3 goals, unfortunately. I wish I kicked the goal, but it was a really special moment for me. But at the end of the day, it's about just playing my role.
Yeah, for sure. We could talk for the next 5 minutes about your stats. You're averaging 15 disposals and at least 1 goal a game, even if maybe you don't know that. But according to the stat man,
that is what you're doing.
That's what you're doing.
How do you turn it on?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess there's opportunities that you get in a game, and by just playing your role, those opportunities do open up. And if you have that time to take it on and kick a goal, I guess that's what I do. And I think that's hits into my attributes is speed and agile, and that's how I kind of like get through oppositions, I guess, and kick a goal.
Yeah, so people have actually been calling you a speed star, as well as the next leader of West Perth. How does that feel? In the 2022 grand final, you had 2 goals and 13 disposals, and it was only your 5th game in the Waffle League.
Yeah, it was an unreal experience, to be honest, in the grand final. It's something that I will never forget, and I was very fortunate to be a part of. I got the call up from Darren Harris, which is the coach now, and back in 2022 as well. And he told me that I'll be playing in the grand final because unfortunately Mark Hutchings couldn't get up because he had an injury. And Mark Hutchings is one of my idols. So I still look up to him today. And I was very fortunate to be a part of the experience and had a lot of nerves coming through. But I guess at the end of the day, it just came back down to playing my role and staying the course over the journey, and I stayed resilient and had a really good attitude and brought that character towards the to the field of play, and I was able to go out there and do my role, and we got the win, and I was very fortunate to also get 2 goals and had a pretty special moment in the last quarter having a chase down tackle, and you know, it was an awesome experience and it's something that I'll cherish forever.
So we're going to switch over a little bit to this weekend's game that just passed. So coming off a 21-point loss to Subi on the weekend, Subiaco's obviously proving to be a powerhouse. They've now had back-to-back wins defeating last year's grand final teams, so West Perth and Claremont. What were some lessons learnt from the game on the weekend?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is that when we came into the rooms, there was no theories, really. We kind of knew what we did wrong, and we knew what we need to fix on and go on from there. But basically, at the end of the day, they were just a better team at that day, and we're not worried about it, and we're really looking forward to this weekend against the Sharks.
Yeah. So, Captain Aaron Black and forward Keegan Knott missed out on the game. Do you reckon their absence was missed, or what's your thoughts?
Yeah, so we have really great depth in our team, and Corey Rundle and Cooper Todd come into the team, and they know their role, and they know how to play it. But yeah, in terms of leadership, everyone brings to the team, and I definitely know with myself, you have to step up, and fortunately, everyone was able to step up and play their role and bring that leadership to the day, but at the end of the day, Subiaco were the better team.
And so 4 rounds in, it's still early days in the season. West Perth, you're currently the reigning premiers. Will we see you there at the end of the year?
Oh, definitely. Like, we're looking to go back to back, no doubt. We have the team to do it. We have the course to do it. We really do believe in ourselves and with our values, trust, spirit. We're there, we're right into it, and that's where we're looking to go. That's definitely the goal.
You're listening to the Monday Waffle with Maya Grieve and Asher Gibbon.
I was going to say your name, but that's cool. Anyway, let's get a little bit of a Waffle W update.
Yes.
Round 8 was on the weekend.
Yes, it was. So South Rio, they had another strong win. They defeated Peel for the first time ever.
I mean, you'd feel pretty proud in that moment.
I think
that
so.
That first win, you're just like, yes. I wonder how their team's feeling. West Perth also beat Subiaco for the first time ever in the women's competition.
Yes, Swan Districts, they're showing rapid improvement, getting their 3rd consecutive win, defeating East Freo.
You know, I had a soft spot for East Freo because when I was in high school, that's where all the girls played.
Yeah.
So they have a little soft spot in my heart, but sad to see that they're not doing so well at the moment. But that's okay.
That's all right.
You can only go up.
And then, of course, Claremont further solidifying their top of the table position. They have remained undefeated this whole season, holding East Perth scoreless on the weekend.
You've been listening to the Monday Waffle with Maya Grieve and Asher Gibbon, your host for this week. We've told you guys to go head out and watch East Freo versus West Perth at 2:10 at the... Oh, okay. That's fine.
I forgot
at
where.
The Walker?
Oh, at the Walker.
I'm kidding. At the Wacker. But yeah, definitely go out there. Give it a listen. But thank you so much for joining us.
Yes, thank you so much for joining us. Keep your
eyes and ears peeled for next week's match. We'll be sure to bring you all of the updates and even some on ground reporting.
All right. See you later, everyone.
Ciao, ciao.